Everyone hear me now? Okay. So it's not the first time in the Bible that giants have been mentioned up until this period of history. The Bible mentioned the Nephilim, the Rephaim, and the Anakim. And there's lots of historical evidence to back up the biblical claim. So, if you look at the Egyptian evidence, the hieroglyphics, it talks about the Anakim people as being larger than average size, them being warlike, aggressive. And about 20 years ago, they found this. It was a piece of pottery from the city of Gath, where Goliath came from. And inscribed on it was the name Goliath. Now, it might not be the giant that we're aware of, but nonetheless, it's interesting that there were people with that name from the time of David and Goliath. And interestingly enough, they found archaeological evidence saying that they'd found larger than average objects. So it's something worth looking into. So who was this man, Goliath? Well, if you turn in your Bibles, it gives some description. So if we read then from verses 4 to 7. He basically looked like a huge bronze snake. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out from the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was a weaver's rod and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Basically, this man was a human weapon of mass destruction. Just to give you some context, here's a screenshot. This is a screenshot of the guy who's been measured as the world's tallest man. 8'11", 1". And according to biblical scholars, Goliath was 9'9". So there were many battles in ancient times that were contested between two warriors, one on each side. If one lost, then the other one became slaves. And the Israelites were getting pretty desperate. Nobody was coming forward. Don't look at me. We've got a few school teachers here in the audience or in the congregation, and my son is himself a school teacher. He's quite young, fresh-faced, takes after his mom. And during his first year of teaching, he had somebody from the head of senior school come to him and say, if you've any issues with behavior, send them to me and I will snap them like a twig. That's a bit of Goliath talk. Well, that's what the Israelites were listening to for about 40 days. So 40 days this went on. Nobody was coming forward. So Saul gets his PR team together and he goes, right, what do we need to do here, guys? Okay, well, let's give them some riches. They can marry my daughter. And maybe we can make the family exempt from taxes. But still, no one came forward. When you look at the passage there, take in mind as well, it mentions the number 40. The number 40 is very relevant because it indicates within the Bible a time of trial, testing, spiritual preparation. And normally the person or the nation that undergoes it undergoes a transformation as a result. And there's some examples in the Bible. Some of those examples are, for example, the Great Flood, 40 days, 40 nights. There's also, for example, the Exodus, 40 years. There's also the life of Moses, 40 years, 40 years, 40 years. And also there's the time that Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days. So who then was David? So David was a shepherd boy. He was a musician, he was a poet, and they reckon he was about 15 years of age. He was insignificant. and he was undervalued. Now, you would have thought when the brothers saw him, he was carrying food. Great! What 20-something doesn't like food? He was bringing bread and cheese, pizza delivery. But they arrived. What are you doing here? Why aren't you looking after the sheep? And as Andrew pointed out last week, he still continued to look after the sheep, despite the fact he was told he was going to be the next king of Israel. And that says something. He wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. And you know, sometimes when you have a look at some of the different churches, it's so easy to see this. There's some people, they're very happy taking the microphone on a Sunday morning, but ask them to do the teas, the coffees, the dishes, mow the lawns, fry the onions at a barbecue. That's a different story. God wants people who gets their hands dirty. God was also orchestrating things behind the scenes. This was an opportunity to introduce David to the nation of Israel at the right time and the right place. And this is an important point. God is sovereign over our lives and over our circumstances. He knows how to get us to where we need to be when we need to be there. Those ordinary days, those insignificant moments, those chance interactions, those little conversations are more important than we can ever realize. And I know in my own life, when I look back, particularly over the last few months, sometimes I get a text message or I get a phone call and it says, could you change your work schedule? Something's come up. Do you know what? 9 times out of 10, that has happened and I've been introduced to somebody and I've ended up having a real God moment conversation with them. About 2 months ago, I got a text message to say, we're changing your schedule. So I finished work a bit later. And it ended up as I was traveling home along the Phillip Island Road, there was a car accident. It literally happened right in front of me. So I stopped and I pulled over and I asked the off-duty paramedic, what would you like me to do? I'm a trained nurse. I've got some supplies in the back of the car. And he goes, go over to that woman across the road. So I did that. And a woman next to me says, I think we better pray. And I goes, oh, are you a Christian? And she goes, well, I believe in spiritual warfare. So after everyone got sent off, we had a bit of a discussion. And it turns out that this woman had come down to Phillip Island to clear her head. She'd been in an abusive relationship. She told me that her partner had been involved in some very dark, demonic stuff. We ended up exchanging mobile numbers. I spoke to one of the members of our Connect group who put me in touch with a friend of a friend who put me in touch with our church in Melbourne. God uses your circumstances in your life. We texted over the next few weeks, and I believe she was on the right road again. David thought he was just going there to deliver food, but he ended up going there for a completely different reason. David also had a different perspective to everyone else. He remembered God's faithfulness, and he firmly believed that God could do anything. I've listed here a set of credentials. As you can see, the credentials are very different. Goliath had full body armor. He had full body strength, army training, sword, spear, javelin. He had a long history of military training, and he relied on himself. David, on the other hand, the armor didn't fit. He couldn't even walk in it. He had to fight in the clothes he was standing in. His weapons, sling, 5 smooth stones, shepherd's stick, speed, accuracy, and don't forget faith. He had a short history of fighting lions and bears, which is quite impressive given he was 15. I don't think there's many men here who have fought lions and bears. Anybody here? Okay. But he relied on God, not himself. Looking at this a bit more, people reckon that he got his sling skills from a tribe of people known as the Benjamites. They were experts in sling use. And there have been various studies carried out, and they found that when they swung it really, really fast, it had as much power as a 44 Magnum gun. So in the right hands, it was a very, very powerful tool. The five stones, freshly picked from San Remo Beach yesterday. People speculate, why five stones? Well, Goliath did have four other relatives. There's nothing in that passage to say that those four other relatives were there, but it does say later on in Samuel that David and the Israelite army went back to fight Goliath's relatives later on. And the other thing I find quite interesting as well, a lot of people, when they recall the story, they remember the sling, they remember the stones, but they forget about the shepherd's staff. And this is very significant, because in the Bible, the staff represented divine support and protection. It indicated that God was leading and protecting. It really brings it home when you think of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It says in that passage that David ran towards Goliath three times. He stepped forward when nobody else stepped forward and everybody else stepped back, including the king. And the king in those days were supposed to be warriors. Do you know, when leaders lack courage, conviction, and boldness, people lack courage, conviction, and boldness. And we only have to look at some of the leaders that we have today in our political arena. They're more interested in popularity as opposed to obedience to God. So David swings his sling. He releases the shot, and it hits Goliath right in the forehead. And Goliath falls down, face down on the ground. Now, can you imagine the adrenaline that's going through David at this point? I don't know about you, but I've watched plenty of movies where the good guys are fighting the bad guys, and you think the bad guy's dead, and then all of a sudden... So David knew he had to get the sword, and with all his strength, with all his might, he got the sword, and he killed that giant dead. Now, at this point, the Philistines then run. Why do they run? Because David said at the start, I'm going to kill Goliath, and then I'm going to kill you. So they start to run. Do you know, it must have been an interesting conversation with his father, Jesse, that evening, and I just love the way sometimes when you look at the passage, God has a wonderful sense of humor. I was going through that chapter and I came across verse 18. And it said, find out how your brothers are getting on and bring back something to show that you saw them and that they are well. David did bring back something. And can you imagine the conversation that night? Dad, when you go to the fridge freezer and you get the fish fingers out for tea, just be careful, there's something in there. But on a more serious note, what giants are you facing today? Is it, we've often had those times in life where something just pulls the rug out from underneath our feet. Scary diagnosis, a bereavement, a marriage breakdown, a business failure, issues with young adults within our family. Sometimes you don't negotiate with them. Sometimes you have to tackle them head on. And that means surrounding yourself with like-minded Christians, praying, counseling, professional help. You do whatever you need to do. And everyone in this room has been in the hard times. but you are still here. We often forget what God brought us through 5 years ago when we felt we just couldn't get up to face another day. When we were down, when we were discouraged, when we were low, the God that brought us through that is the God who's bringing us through what we are going through right now. Our circumstances change, our problems change, but God doesn't. And sometimes we need to go back and we need to recall and we need to write down what he has done. The God that brought me through that is the God that will bring me through this. And in the Old Testament times, they used to set up stones of remembrance. When they had a victory, when they passed the River Jordan, when they crossed the Red Sea, they set up stones to remind them of God's faithfulness. Maybe we don't need to set up stones, but maybe we need to start writing things down to help us to recall what he has done in our lives. It seemed like you weren't going to get through it, but here you are. You will never have public victories unless there's private devotion. And David spent much time in isolation. On a positive note, sometimes these giants can shake us out of our state of complacency. It can be a moment of opportunity. Some giants have a purpose. They can bring about a shift, a transition, a change. Maybe there's something that God wants you to get ready for. And he's getting you ready by confronting your giant. By facing the giant, we become the man or woman God has prepared for the next stage. We fight against the spiritual forces of the heavenly realm, but we often forget that they're most afraid of us when we step out in faith. Goliath was the best thing that ever happened to David. He went from being an obscure little shepherd boy to being Israel's man of the moment. And from that time on, Israel viewed him as a warrior king. So next time, when you face a problem, try like David seeing it in a different perspective. God will bless you for it. But here's the highlight of the story. This all points to Jesus. Jesus is talked about in this passage from beginning to end. Now, some of you are looking a bit perplexed. You're going, I don't remember reading about Jesus in this passage. I thought we were reading in the Old Testament. Okay, let me explain. David's name means beloved. Jesus is God's beloved son. Both were born in Bethlehem. Both were rejected by their brethren. Both displayed humility and obedience. David was anointed. Jesus is the anointed one. David stepped up to confront Goliath. Jesus stepped up to confront sin and death. Genesis 3:15 is the first verse that speaks about the gospel. The offspring of a woman would crush the head of a serpent. Goliath, looking like a snake, is defeated. His head is crushed with a stone, removed, and brought to Jerusalem. Now, just bear in mind, Jerusalem is 40 kilometers away. So if you're a decent long distance runner, it's going to take you about 4 hours. Okay. And it's not yet a capital of Israel. It is buried there, and it becomes a skull. So what's the significance? The significance is, 1,000 years later, Jesus, the anointed one, the descendant of David, comes to Jerusalem. He is crucified at Golgotha, which in Aramaic means the place of the skull. In this story, David, the winner, got a bride. And his family didn't need to pay taxes. Jesus also won and got a bride, the church. And all of his family are no longer subject to pay the debt of sin. Jesus is the champion. He won the victory. We didn't have to do anything. And that's the gospel. And this is what the real story of David and Goliath is pointing to. It's not just their story. It's our story too. Because of Jesus, we are victorious. To be a real life David of today, God is not looking for the perfected. He's looking for the directed. He's looking for the humble, the sincere, the courageous, the bold, the convicted. He's looking for the one that steps up and steps out despite the opposition. He's looking for the one that says, God, whatever your vision is for this church, I'm with it 100%. Give me the faith that slays the giants. As opposed to, and in contrast to, and I'll give examples that I've seen in different churches. Okay, give us a minister. Let's go back to what we did before. Let's run things our way. And then they realize church isn't growing. Jesus gave a very different vision for his church, and that was go and make disciples of all nations. Go. That means being active, getting out of your comfort zone, getting your hands dirty. God is looking for the person who doesn't give up. God is looking for the person who doesn't know everything but knows the one who does. He's looking for the one who maybe isn't the most impressive, but is the most surrendered. We live in a crazy world today, and I admit I get so frustrated when I see what goes on out there. But I take encouragement from the book of Esther. You were born for such a time as this. You might feel that you're the undervalued, insignificant Christian underdog. But in the end, you will win. I'm going to ask the band to come up. As we sing our last reflective song, I'd like each of us to reflect on our own spiritual journeys. And this message this morning is for three different people. The first person, if perhaps like Goliath, you've been hit with a spiritual stone between the eyes, today is the day you can change your ways. The second person, maybe you're a bit curious. Maybe you've looked at things going on in the world and you think, I want to explore this Christianity. I want to find out what the truth is. What is the real thing? What is this all about? And the third person, maybe you're going through the valley. Maybe you're having problems slaying those giants. Maybe you need someone to pray with you that you can feel his peace and you can feel his presence. So if you're any one of those three people, I invite you to take that step, a big step. Well, come and stand at the front row, and one of our church team will speak and pray with you. Because I believe in my heart of hearts, as it is in the Sunday school chorus, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there is nothing that he cannot do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the victory. Help us to fight the giants in our lives. May our lives be a reflection of your great presence. You created the universe out of nothing. The earth is your footstool. Your power is unlimited. Your love is eternal. Your wisdom is perfect. And in the end, your will be done. Amen.